Good afternoon. Please be seated.
The last matter in order for hearing this afternoon is the matter of Kenneth W. Ross et al. Versus Acadian Sea Plants Limited. A couple of housekeeping matters before we begin. First, I just want to warn counsel, we've had a little bit of an issue with microphones, both yours and ours. So if Mr. Pollack stands up all of a sudden, I'll ask everybody to stop talking. We'll fix the microphones and go on. Second, it has become a tradition of the court in cases involving the intertidal zone to give you a brief disclosure about ownership issues on the court. So I'm going to go through that very quickly. I do not own oceanfront property, but I do have family members who own oceanfront property in Maine. Justice Alexander regrets that he owns no Maine oceanfront property. Justice Mead has a shared ownership in Maine oceanfront property. And Justices Gorman, Jabber, Yelm, and Humphrey have no ownership in oceanfront property in Maine. And with that, counsel, I'll ask you to stand right where you are. Give us your names and the parties you represent so that we can start the official record.
Gordon Smith for the appellees.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Benjamin Leone for Acadian Sea Plants, the appellant.
Thank you, Mr. Leone.
Catherine Connors for the Maine Department of Marine Resources.
Thank you, Ms. Connors. And with that, Mr. Leone.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Ben Leone, and I represent Acadian Sea Plants. We ask this court today to declare that the public has a right to harvest rockweed from the intertidal zone and to deny the plaintiff's unprecedented request to privatize a living marine organism found in intertidal waters. Today I want to focus on three reasons why. First, a broad and sympathetically generous interpretation which this court must apply to the verbs fishing and navigation incorporate what a plurality of this court in McGarvey characterized as the public's right to, quote, obtain sustenance or economic benefits through the harvesting of the sea, which is, of course, precisely what Acadian Sea Plants does. To this day, Maine's economy and working waterfront depends on the public's longstanding right to engage in the backbreaking work of harvesting living marine organisms such as mussels, oysters, marine worms, fish, clams, the living resources of the sea. And this court has steadfastly protected that public interest by recognizing that the state owns intertidal waters and the living marine resources attached to or embedded in private intertidal land, and that the public has a right to cross intertidal land and extract those living marine resources from private intertidal land. In sum, continuing to protect the public's right to harvest living seaweed in the intertidal zone is consistent with this court's precedent. Second, plaintiffs rely heavily on a case called Hill versus Lord from the 1860s, but acknowledge on page 22 of their brief that Hill never considered the public rights to harvest seaweed pursuant to the public trust doctrine, the doctrine that Acadian presents here. Hill was instead premised on case law related to title by prescription and accretion. And finally, the terrestrial distinction between public wild transient animals such as deer and private stationary products of the land does not apply to the oceans or intertidal zone and never has, which has abundant populations of stationary non-transient marine organisms that are undeniably public property. And unlike a terrestrial plant such as a tree, seaweed is not the product of the land. It's a product of the ocean, which is a public resource. Acadian therefore respectfully requests that this court reaffirm the public's right to do what it has been doing since colonial times, which is harvest living seaweed, a marine resource, from the intertidal zone. With that, I waive whatever time I have left, and I'm happy to answer the court's questions.
Mr. Leone, this case will call upon the court once again to visit the parameters of the public's access to that intertidal zone. the parties and the amici have done a wonderful job showing us where those parameters have been drawn previously. In this case, are we looking at the distinction between plants and animals, or the distinction between permanent versus occasionally moving upon the waters? What is, in your mind, the line that is drawn that puts this kind of seaweed on the public side of the line?
Right. Thank you for that question. I think it's critically important that there is a line drawn somewhere, and that line is drawn between living marine organisms found in intertidal waters and those marine organisms or the land that may have been washed ashore. You know, there is a balancing here that needs to happen between living marine organisms, which are subject to the public right to harvest, and the doctrine of accretion. And where that line can easily be drawn is when marine resources die, and where the court has drawn it in the past, where marine resources die or are cast upon the land so that they could contribute to an alluvial addition to land, it becomes private. But until that point, it's a public resource, and the public has the right to harvest
it. But this resource you talk about, sort of accreting the land, adding to the land, the latest science, to the extent it's respected, indicates the reverse is happening, that the water is gaining and the amount of shoreline is, or the amount of land on the shore, on the borders is declining. So you're saying that basically if you're successful, people can harvest, you know, closer and closer and closer to people's homes and other properties on the shore. Is that right?
Well, the common law has always recognized a moving property line along the intertidal zone and at the high water mark. Doesn't matter what state.
And with global warming, we now know that is sort of adding to the sea and detracting from the land. Correct? Yeah.
It appears that sea level is rising, and if seaweed is detached from the bottom of the ocean,
but your argument would go to any living organism, any kind of plant, any kind of grass or whatever could be harvested by anybody once it's below the generally recognized high water mark.
If it's below the high water mark,
no matter what it is, grass, seaweed, trees, whatever. Could be harvested,
could
right?
Could be eelgrass, could mm-hmm. be seaweed.
Mr. Leone, some of the amici have suggested that we should consider policy in making this decision and are concerned that the Department of Marine Resources has been doing a less than adequate job in regulating this new way of fishing, if you will, in Maine. And we have been, it has been argued to us that the tragedy of the commons should play some role in our decision making here. Should we be concerned that the government, which has undertaken the obligation to regulate this, has not done a spectacular job with other fisheries in Maine?
Well, I think in this case, outside of other fisheries in Maine, the record is pretty clear that the government's doing a very good job regulating the harvest of the seaweed. But to your point, we don't draw distinctions in property ownership based on concerns about whether a particular agency is adequately regulating a particular activity.
And the agency has been very clear that it will regulate as it should, as good government, but those regulations do not decide who owns the property at issue.
The regulations themselves do not. What they do provide, which is telling, is that they provide definitions of what's considered a marine organism. They provide definitions for what's considered fishing. And that's important when you go back and review this court's decision in McGarvey, where even Justice Levy, in his plurality opinion, acknowledged that those core requirements of delineating the public's right pursuant to fishing and fowling and navigation, those terms should be recognized and evolve as they evolve over time. And so regardless of what fishing and fowling and navigation may have meant back in, 1641 to 47. The fact is, times change, things evolve, and the Department of Marine Resources recognizes that harvesting seaweed is a form of fishing, and they have for decades.
Mr. Leone, let me ask you, if I could, just to follow up on the Chief's question about what kind of dividing line we need to be identifying. It seems to me there are a couple of different components in this case. There's the effect of the Hill case, but then there's also the colonial ordinance issue. Isn't it true that the nature of the dividing line really differs between the issues that we need to address? In the Hill case, the question is whether the asset, the resource, is a profit in the soil, and that's a legal term that we need to apply to a natural resource that may not be susceptible to a clean delineation along those lines. But then as far as the colonial ordinance and public trust doctrine is concerned, we may be looking at a very different concept. There we're looking at fishing, fowling, navigation, and the dividing line may be different there than it is with the Hill profit of Prandra analysis. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think this case falls squarely into the jurisprudence related to the public trust doctrine and what types of resources and what rights the public has to obtain sustenance and economic benefits through the harvesting of the sea. Profit of Prandras, which often apply to upland, in this case I view it as a bit of a red herring, because we acknowledge that giving in a deed somebody the right to use your land for hunting is a profit of Prandra. We characterize it as profit of Prandra. Yet deer themselves are public property. So regardless of how this court views profit of Prandra, you know, this is an area of law that's distinct and really should not be decided on whether this is could be characterized as a profit of Prandra or not.
But the problem continues with the definition of fishing, which is almost what brings us here. I would suggest to you that it's pretty clear that clams and mussels and oysters are available to the public. If, however, I bring a backhoe to the intertidal zone and begin to scoop out large parts of that intertidal zone, then there's going to be a problem because the public rights will interfere with the private rights. So the question here, and I don't think Hill gives us much of an answer, is what do we do with rockweed that actually attaches to the rocks in the intertidal zone? Does it make it different? The Hill Court was thinking about the seaweed many of us know that floats and actually goes away. Does that make a difference in our analysis here?
Well, I think it's a reason why Hill versus Lord doesn't apply in this case. But
although Hill does say that the seaweed belongs to the owner of the soil upon which it grows. We're not talking about seaweed that's floating loose in the ocean. We're talking about seaweed that's attached.
But the court goes on to say the defendant admits at the end of that statement. You know, they're reciting what the defendant admits, because what the defendant needed in that case in Hill, they needed a right to cross somebody's private property, their farm, to get to the shore to take seaweed. The public trust doctrine wouldn't have helped the defendants in that case because they still needed a right to get over private land to extract that resource. So they brought claims of title by prescription and easement by custom. And in doing that, they needed to concede, or, you know, it really didn't matter to them whether they conceded that the seaweed belongs to the owner of the soil, because they were claiming
your,
that...
Your view, essentially, is that anything that's below the high watermark, perhaps even with the chief's example, can be harvested or taken or collected, correct?
No.
No? Okay, what's the exception?
Yeah, if it's a living marine resource, it can be harvested. Where this court has drawn a line is where those marine resources die. For example, mussel shells.
But even a living marine resource that's on someone's property, correct?
That's
below the high water mark, but on someone's property.
Yes.
Do you argue then that lobsters can be fished out of lobster ponds that are separated by a net by anybody else who happens along?
Well, those have been reduced to possession. And early cases dealing with the public trust doctrine talk about your private right to erect fish weirs.
So if you put a net out on the out beyond the seaweed, you can't mm-hmm. harvest that?
You wouldn't be able to harvest that. DMR might have something to say about you putting nets in the intertidal zone.
Is there a difference between a plant that grows from the sea bottom as opposed to a plant that's attached to a rock?
There's a physical difference, but there's no difference in how the law should be viewing it. It's a living marine organism. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leone. Ms. Connors.
I'm here to talk about the statute. We agree that if this court were working on a clean slate with no governing statute, that it should rule that the common law is that the public can harvest seaweed in the intertidal zone subject to department regulation. But it's not working on a clean slate. And so the analysis of the common law is different. If it's on a clean slate, the analysis of the common law is forward-looking. This court determines what the common law is, and as a part of that, what it should be. And it looks at policy. Where are we going? And if it's a question of there's a statute and it applies, then the question is that statute seizing a private property right? It looks backwards at when the statute was enacted to see whether at that time it was seizing a property right established, free from doubt, in the common law. Now, however we describe the common law, Hill, Marshall, all of those pre-1973 and even the post, it's not clear. And if it's not clear, it's not established, and you can't say you're seizing a private property right. So if the statute applies and it says the state owns the living resources of the sea, then the state owns those resources and it governs who can harvest them.
But the legislature cannot take private property rights.
That's right.
And we will assume that the legislature did not intend to take private property rights.
And there's nothing in the legislative history to indicate it wanted to.
To indicate otherwise. So where does that leave us with this, with the very statute that you're addressing?
It leaves you to looking at that statute saying, well, does this apply? It says it owns that. Okay, now we have to decide whether that conflicts with the common law. But to determine whether it conflicts with the common law, the Stop the Beach case says you look at whether it's been established, because you look at the legal expectations of the parties to determine whether there's really been a taking.
This is a particularly difficult area for us to look at what has been established. As we arrived at Bell and Eaton and McGarvey, it became pretty clear that there were a lot of conflicting views about what had been established.
Exactly, which means it's not established.
But isn't it well established that the products of the soil belong to the owner?
It is established that the Hill decided one way, then Marshall seemed to say the other thing, and then there seemed to be a lot of cases in Massachusetts, and then you have the analysis under both opinions in McGarvey. But if there is no case that holds live rockweed that floats in the ocean is private property. No case that holds that.
What do you say about the chief's hypothetical earlier that if you can take the rockweed that's attached to the rocks, questioning whether that also allows you to take the rocks or the sand too?
It's got to be alive. The statute, I'm talking about the statute, and the statute says the living resources of the sea, which is squarely consistent with what the chief's opinion in McGarvey said. What is the colonial ordinance all about? It's about taking the economic benefits from the harvesting of the fruits of the sea. That is squarely what rockweed harvesting is.
So if you're harvesting clams, let's say, you could come in with a bucket and take the sand and the clams and dump it and say you're fishing?
No, you can only take the incidental sand and there's a case from Maine that holds that you can only if it's covering the shell. And if it's a dead mussel?
But that's an ordinary overburdening of the public easement kind of analysis. We know that you can take the clams. The question is, within reason, what else can you take? But here, the question is the rockweed an oak tree or a clam?
Well, the question under the statute is it a living resource of the sea?
But has the state overreached? I mean, the state couldn't pass a statute that says the state can regulate the taking of hay on your property. It's a product of the soil, correct?
Because common law or other law clearly establishes, free from doubt, that taking hay is a private property right.
So the
issue
comes down to whether rockweed is more like hay or more like a clam.
The test is whether common law established free from doubt. Is there a common law that established living rockweed in the ocean was a private property right? Was it not fishing? Certainly the legislature didn't think so. It defines fishing to be the taking of all marine organisms.
Thank you, Ms. Connors. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, at the most basic level, we're asking the court to confirm that fee simple ownership of real estate includes ownership of the plants that are attached to and growing on that real estate. This is a core principle of property law, and it applies equally to the intertidal area as it does to the upland. As the court said in Bell 2, quote, title to the shore is as ample as to the upland. And that is true save for the rights that are reserved in the public trust doctrine. Now, those public trust doctrine rights are access rights. The public trust doctrine does not allocate ownership rights of resources in the intertidal area. And as the court held in Hill v. Lord, it said, quote, seaweed belongs to the owner of the soil on which it grows or is deposited. That statement by the court in Hill v. Lord was based on the same exact set of facts that are before the court in this appeal. The reasoning did not have to do with alluvion. That was a separate part of the Hill decision that dealt with floating seaweed. Hill treated both attached and cast seaweed. And so it's completely relevant and on point. In fact, it's the only case in Maine or anywhere else that squarely dealt with the facts in front of the court today. In addition, that same year in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court in Anthony v. Gifford said that seaweed that, quote, may justly be said to be attached to the soil, unquote, is the property of the littoral landowner. Thus, under both Maine and Massachusetts common law, for over 150 years, the operative common law has been that the attached intertidal seaweed is owned by the intertidal landowner. And those cases are simply confirmations and applications of the bedrock core property law principle, irrespective of the public trust doctrine, that says that plants that are attached to and growing on private property are owned by the property owner. And that wild animals, such as oysters, clams, mussels, etc., are public property that are owned in trust by the state for in trust for the public. Now, In Horn versus Department of Agriculture in 2015, the United States Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts said, quote, oysters are fere naturae that belong to the state under state law. Okay, all of the animals, all of the rights under the public trust doctrine that the court has held are public rights. They deal with public resources that are publicly owned under a completely different set of law. They do not allocate property rights to those items to the public. The public trust doctrine allows access across the intertidal land.
Mr. Smith, I want to take you back to Anthony v. Gifford out of Massachusetts in the 1861. Thank you. In that case, the language used by the Massachusetts court indicated an understanding that the seaweed at issue actually drew nutrients from the seafloor, that it was somehow ordinarily rooted in the dirt, the soil of the sea, became detached, floated on the waves, and came up upon the sand. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about seaweed that actually has a biological mechanism that allows it to hitch to a rock, not to draw nutrients, because it will draw those nutrients from the sea and from the air and whatever photosynthesis it can do. Mm-hmm. It is not the same seaweed that the Massachusetts court was talking about.
Well, the two things.
Or is it?
It's the statement by the court that seaweed that can be deemed to be attached is then the property of the owner of the soil is a legal concept that doesn't rely on where the roots, whether
or
not the
roots. It's not a product of the soil. It's not a profit of the soil.
Well, to the extent that the question about does rockweed take nutrients in through its roots is relevant, it's not relevant to a legal distinction because upland plants use public resources, sunlight, rainwater, air. These are all public resources. They're growing in the public, in air that is not privately owned, taking sunlight that is not privately owned, the same as rockweed.
But in order
doing.
To invoke the common law to override the department's broad encompassing of marine organisms, don't you have to loop it back to the common law, which connected it with the soil, a product like things growing out of the soil?
Absolutely, but product of the soil is not limited to having roots in the soil that extract nutrients. That's not what product of the soil means. Product of the soil can be quarrying stone. It can be, cases in Massachusetts have said that taking seaweed is a profit of Prandra. The fact that something takes nutrients out of roots in the soil is not relevant to the legal distinction of going onto someone's property and taking an item that's attached to it, that's a resource attached to and growing on that private property.
Well,
and removing
isn't it also based upon an understanding that you are changing the landscape by removing something like that? Is harvesting rockweed changing the landscape?
Absolutely. Rockweed is a habitat-forming seaweed. It is a key element of the Gulf of Maine food web. It's a basic building block. And so this is not like mowing grass. This is removing everything down to 16 inches above the holdfast, which meaning all of the biomass of the plant.
Your brief, I think it was your brief, and certainly some of the amici briefs indicate the concern about basically denuding the rocks of the seaweed and causing, significant environmental change. But that's something that, if it was a concern, could be regulated by the state or federal governments, correct?
Absolutely, by the state government, I think.
So why are we have to consider that?
Because the issue of regulation and the issue of ownership are two distinct questions. Yes, my clients urge DMR to heavily regulate the rockweed harvest. They are concerned about its overharvest. That can be done irrespective of whether it's private or public.
And that can achieve then the environmental concerns that you were talking about in response to the last question.
If DMR did that, but they have not.
Is this a case that's really suitable for decision on a summary judgment? I mean, the record in this case is pretty limited. There was a joint statement of material fact. I mean, a counsel are to be commended to cooperate to create that product. Then there were a couple of articles, scientific articles, that were attached to that, all submitted by agreement for the court to consider. But it seems to me that the analytical foundation for the court's decision were a couple of statements in the Hill case, which was issued Civil War era. You know, I would like to think that biological science has moved forward, in the last 150 years. Isn't this the kind of case where there should be a more fully developed explanation to the court about the nature of rockweed? I mean, it seems to have some characteristics that are similar to plants, some that might be similar to animals. And this is an algae that's sort of somewhere in between. But isn't this a case where there should be a more well-developed factual explication of what algae is, and then let the court decide what the legal effects of those findings would be?
I think the facts necessary for the court to reach the legal conclusion are here in the record. It's stipulated by the parties that rockweed is a marine plant. Its basic, biology is stipulated by the parties. And to the extent that Hill v. Lord may have been thinking something else, that has not been identified. We don't know. The appellant has not identified any specific difference in biological science that would call into question.
But you agree that the Hill opinion had no discussion about the science of rockweed or seaweed, simply said that it's the product of the soil. We also know that there's a factual error in Hill because the Hill court said that seaweed grows on beaches, which is not correct. So we know that there is at least that much of a misunderstanding about what seaweed really is.
Absolutely, and that may have been a different type of seaweed than rockweed or it might have been rockweed and other types of seaweed, and they were talking about seaweed that was both growing in the soil and growing in the flats and cast up on shore.
And you're being generous in characterizing those as uncertainties as opposed to errors, but even if there are those uncertainties, doesn't that cast into question the reliability of the information and the conclusion that was reached in Hill?
It doesn't, because Hill is simply codifying, is simply a reiteration of general common law principles that plants, rockweed is a plant, it's stipulated as a plant, that are attached to and growing on private land are the property of the fee title owner.
And what about Ms. Connor's argument with regard to the statute?
Section 22A does not control this appeal. As the court said, the first question the court needs to answer is, what is the common law right here? And then, in order to know what the permissible scope of Section 22A is, the first question is, what is the common law right? And to the extent the court thinks that is a right that is ambiguous and needs to be determined, that's the court's job in this
What has
appeal.
Been the custom in the state of Maine? Do we have facts on this? Do we not have facts that indicate that the custom has been to treat rockweed as a marine organism that is available to the public and to the upland owner?
I don't think that the record does not indicate that has been the uniform custom. There's evidence in the record that the right to harvest rockweed has been conveyed, reserved, and transferred, alienated by deed, such in the same sense as any other property interest. It's a property interest that was deemed to be appurtenant to the real estate.
What do we do with the Marshall language that says the owner and the public enjoy rights in common with regard to this particular organism?
Well, Marshall didn't say anything about attached intertidal rockweed. Marshall said, as in dictum that's unsupported by legal authority, analysis, or facts relevant to the case, that the right to harvest sea manure was within the scope of the public trust doctrine. But the definition of sea manure is far too ambiguous to...
So Marshall is too ambiguous, but Hill is clear?
I think if you look at these two cases, Hill was about the harvest of attached intertidal seaweed.
But if you
Marshall
read,
had nothing to
if
do
you
with
read
that.
Marshall, isn't a reasonable interpretation of Marshall that they're primarily talking about seaweed, kelp, things like that?
I think that is not necessarily the inference that should be drawn from Marshall. Marshall, the definition of sea manure has been held to be items that are cast up on the shore that are organic detritus.
Right, and that's mostly, seaweed by however you want to characterize it. Seaweed, rockweed, kelp, whatever that gets cast up on the shore. It's not talking about dead fish cast up on the shore.
It very well could be. When things are cast up on the shore, they're not neatly arranged in piles. People would come and take them. Now, to the extent that they were taking items that were cast up on the shore without the landowner's permission, those are also privately held rights to that accreted material on private land, whether it be intertidal or upland.
Can you, here's your challenge of the day. What is the holding of the court if you prevail in a single sentence? Where is the line drawn?
That the public trust doctrine is totally outside the scope of this case. The public trust doctrine is an access easement. It doesn't allocate property rights. The law that the court should look at are background principles of property law, and for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that property law has held that plants attached to and growing on the soil are the property of the landowner.
If I can, let me ask you about your fairly narrow understanding of the colonial ordinance and the public trust doctrine. I mean, cases have held that we've held that the public may fish, fowl, or navigate on the privately owned land for pleasure as well as business and sustenance. That's talking about more than getting to the intertidal area. That's talking about actually doing things when the public gets there. So is it sort of your story and you're sticking to it that the public trust doctrine only allows access to the intertidal area for things that the public has a right to do based on independent legal authority?
The independent legal authority, I would direct the court to is McGarvey v. Wittridge, in which the Chief Justice's concurrence made abundantly clear and repeatedly identified the public trust doctrine as an access easement. The concurrence said that the public trust doctrine was, quote, a right to cross the intertidal zone to reach the ocean, unquote.
Because there are other bases for the use of the marine organisms. The access doesn't come through the doctrine. Only access comes through the doctrine, not use of the sea.
Not the ownership. The ownership rights.
Well, what's the use of the sea? Where does that come from?
That is a general statement. There's never been a test articulated or a holding articulated that says the public trust doctrine is anything related to use of the sea. The public trust doctrine has been, you know, the current law is that it must be related to fishing, fowling, and navigation. That means access to the water to do those activities.
So the public can cross the intertidal zone to fish?
Correct.
Can they fish for rockweed?
That's not fishing.
That's not fishing.
No.
Who says?
But they can clam.
Yes, they can clam, and those are wild animals. They can clam because those are wild animals, and all of these items in the public trust doctrine that are deemed public trust doctrine rights, those items are publicly held under a completely separate body of law, under core background principles of property law that govern, you know, ownership of wild animals,
then
plants.
If you don't prevail in this case, then it really would make no difference in terms of harvesting rockweed, because you, as we've talked about the previous precedents, talked about access across the land to get at these recreational or fishing activities. If you do not prevail, then a person could either harvest the rockweed by boat or by, you know, a truck coming over and just picking it up on the land and taking it in through the land, correct?
Depending on the court's holding, yes.
Well, no.
Assuming that there is other access to the intertidal zone from the land itself.
Well, in this case, Acadian Sea Plants, the defendant says, we don't set foot on intertidal land. We harvest from boats. Now, if
the precedent is established that this is harvestable by anyone because it's part of the public trust, what's to limit, considering the precedent we've already set with regard to access, what's to limit persons crossing the land to do this harvest?
If it's considered to be public property, then none. Then it would be within the public's right to cross intertidal land to harvest it.
Don't all of these arguments circle back to what is rockweed?
To some extent, yes.
For the common law,
yes,
right?
It circles back to it's a plant. It's not the question that the Chief Justice asked, is it more like a tree, or that you asked, Your Honor, is it more like hay, or is it more like a clam?
Is it something in between? If you have seaweed that has roots into the earth from which it's drawing nutrients, and it's removed from that, it dies and washes to the shore. Rockweed is attached by a hard fast, which in my mind I liken to like an anchor. It doesn't provide nutrients. It just provides an anchor to the rock that can become detached and relocate somewhere else. But during that transition, the rockweed remains alive. It still gets its nutrients from its source, the sea.
That is true. There is floating rockweed.
Okay,
I think that is a distinction without necessarily having significance, because, for example, there are upland plants mm-hmm. that do not extract nutrients from roots embedded in the soil. They are plants that do not have roots. They attach themselves to a hard
mushrooms.
Substrate.
You mean mushrooms?
Lichen.
Stuff like that.
Hydroponic tomatoes do not need soil. So, but we're back to, if the rockweed has let go, its holdfast has not worked, and it is floating on the ocean.
Yes.
You would agree that that is available to any member of the public who can reach it by
yes.
some legal means.
Yes.
Until that hard fast finds a rock on somebody else's intertidal
But it does. Rockweed does not reattach.
Does not?
No.
So it's, once it begins a journey after a bad storm or something has occurred, it is not reattaching to anybody's rocks.
That's correct. It does not have the ability to do that in the way that a bivalve does have the ability.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Mr. Leone, anything in rebuttal?
Two quick points. I think there's a little bit of confusion on Anthony v. Giffords in 1861 Massachusetts case. That case, in that case, the court stated two really important factors. First, even in 1861, that court recognized that seaweed is, quote, a marine product, not a product of the soil. Second, the court said, the appellees mentioned that seaweed is that is attached to the soil is privately owned. In that case, the court actually mentioned that only until detached from the bottom of the sea and thrown on the shore or beach does seaweed become owned by the private upland
owner. Is your position that we have facts that have to be resolved here?
Yes,
or is this something we can decide as a matter of law?
We do.
Is there a dispute over the biology of rockweed?
Say again?
Is there a dispute regarding the biology of rockweed?
I don't think that there's a dispute that centers on an issue before the court.
Okay, but there's no factual dispute. We'll decide this is a question of law then, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Your argument necessarily requires us to find that the fishing, that, quote, definition of fishing applies in this case.
If this court follows Justice Levy's concurring opinion or plurality opinion in McGarvey, and we look strictly through the scope of fishing and navigation, we think that a broad and generous interpretation of those terms incorporates harvesting of rockweed, a marine organism, from the sea.
It's fishing. Otherwise, you have no other basis to claim that it's not onto the soil, correct?
Well, it depends on how you interpret the public's access to the intertidal zone.
Exactly. And again, we also view this as a marine product. So does Anthony V. Giffords. So does DMR. And so do the stipulated facts on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leone. We appreciate the briefs and argument of counsel. We will stand in recess.
All rise. All persons, I would like to give further to you before the Honorable Justice of the Supreme Court. Sitting with the law court, may hence depart and get their attendance here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, as this court now stands adjourned. God save the state of Maine and this honorable court.